The title of today's message is Out of Bread. Out of Bread. And it's a short message, I will tell you that. So if some of you were thinking about going to Texas Roadhouse for lunch, you can go ahead and do call ahead seating. And I'll just wait a moment and get that taken care of. I don't try to make a message that's a certain length of time or a certain number of pages. I take whatever is the next thought, the next thing to teach in Matthew, where we are now, and go with that. So if we're done earlier than normal, that's okay. That's okay. Speaking of early, earlier in our study of Matthew, we learned this. Jesus said, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Agree? Okay, I have some heads are nodding. Now, while I definitely want to strive to live by God's word, I do believe I could live by bread alone for quite a while. Because I do love bread. I love all kinds of bread, every form of bread. White bread, wheat bread, sourdough bread. I love hamburger buns, hot dog buns, yeast rolls, crescent rolls, biscuits, English muffins, breadsticks, pizza crust, banana bread. What about pumpkin bread, even zucchini bread? I like them all.
Forgot cornbread.
What, cornbread? Give me a pen. I do like cornbread, and I didn't think about that one. Yes, you're absolutely right. And believe it or not, when Jan and I dated in high school, there was this particular group that we would listen to a lot, hear their music, and the name of the group was Bread. And in fact, there's been times like Esau that I've been so hungry that I would give everything I own just to have some bread. Mike got it. Today's scripture recalls a time when Jesus' disciples thought they were in trouble because they had forgotten some bread. But Jesus clarified that he was not upset about their loafing or their lack of loafing. So listen to how Matthew recorded this event. Today, we're still in chapter 16, and now verse 5 and through 12. Later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered that they had forgotten to bring any bread. Watch out, Jesus warned them. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, what they were talking about, so he said, you have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? So again I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then, at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about bread, but about the deceptive teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The disciples forgot to bring lunch as they crossed the lake. Someone told Jesus, sorry about that. I guess we forgot to bring any bread. And then Jesus throws them a curveball. He says, watch out and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, the disciples didn't know what to make of that. In fact, do you understand? I didn't really until I studied it. And I hope in the next few minutes that I can make it understandable for all of us. First of all, Jesus reminds them that lack of bread is not the problem. In fact, he reminds them of the miraculous feedings that they not only witnessed, but they benefited from. They ate from that bread that was a miracle. Of course, God cares about food for our bellies. In fact, if you remember, Jesus instructed us to pray for our daily bread. But God also cares, and maybe even more so cares, about the ideas that we allow in our mind. God cares about what we believe, just as he cares about what we eat. The ideas put forth by the Pharisees and Sadducees, the opponents of Jesus, are deadly. By contrast, the ideas put forth by Jesus are life-giving. Jesus had done many miracles, and yet the Pharisees and Sadducees still did not believe in him. Now, shortly before Jesus warned his disciples of the yeast of the Pharisees, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus, tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Remember, that's what we discussed all last week in depth. But Jesus refused to give them a sign. This exchange gives context to Jesus' strange mention of yeast now. You see, the yeast of the Pharisees was subtle yet pervasive. A subtle yet pervasive influence on all the people. The yeast was their teaching, specifically false teaching. Jesus was warning the disciples about their teaching. And he was saying those who followed the Pharisees might also want and demand signs, and that they would gradually increase in their unbelief until they had hardened hearts, just like the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's the warning. That's what to beware of. Now, the most obvious false teaching that was promoted by these two groups of people, it was that Jesus is a fraud, just another would-be Messiah, destined to both lead his followers into spiritual ruin and into conflict with the Romans. What neither of Jesus' opponents admit is the threat that he poses to their own livelihoods. And we talked really in detail about the Pharisees and Sadducees last week and what they did and how they were recognized by the people. But just in short, the Pharisees benefited from their role as spiritual authorities within the lives of the people, and that made them feel like they were better than everybody else. The Sadducees, they benefited from their cushy relationship with the Romans, which allowed them to run the temple like a profit-generating family business. Jesus threatens both of them, both of these groups. You see, if Jesus gets his way, if he turns the hearts and minds of the people from the power structures that support the Pharisees and Sadducees, then they, the Pharisees and Sadducees, will be the ones who end up scurrying for their daily bread. And they can't allow this to happen. So they reject Jesus. And ultimately, they will kill Jesus. But Jesus was tested long before the Pharisees and Sadducees. Maybe you'll remember this conversation. Quote, "If you really are who you say you are, then turn these stones into bread." That was one of the great temptations posed to Jesus by the devil himself in the wilderness. But Jesus fended him off with another scripture and reminded the devil of this: man does not live by bread alone. if all we care about is bread for our bellies, and if all we care about is the material wants in our lives, we're in trouble. We open ourselves to accepting all sorts of ideas, willing to do all sorts of immoral and unjust things that promise us material success. Maybe you've heard people say or infer thoughts like this: I want mine, and I don't care about you. I want mine, and I don't care about you. Now, that's fine. That's the way the world is going to talk. But that's not the way a Christian should talk. That's no way for a Christian to think or talk out loud. It's no way to build the Christian life. Some people's ambition maybe could be summed up in a mantra like this: do all you can all you get, and then sit on your can. Do all you can all you get, and then sit on your can. In other words, work all the overtime possible, accumulate lots and lots of stuff, and then retire to the lazy boy recliner. Life, especially the Christian life, is more than making dough, baking bread, and eating toast until we die. If we truly trust that God will provide us daily bread, and that doing our part according to our skills and abilities will result in everyone getting enough, then we will truly know freedom. God doesn't expect us or doesn't want us to pray for a hole and then lean on a shovel. There's work to be done, even in the midst of prayer, even in the midst of praying for daily bread. It is this selfless outlook toward life that separates Jesus from this selfish, self-seeking, self-gratification outlook toward life of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They're just totally opposite. Pharisees and Sadducees, it's all about them. With Jesus, it's all about him giving to others, doing for others. And he wants us to be like him. The man-made teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees were pervasive as yeast is in a loaf of bread. Just as pervasive. Their corruption was so subtle, but it advanced in hardly perceptive ways. And yet it was extensive. Jesus denounced the Pharisees on several occasions, and their hypocrisy was the common theme. How many times when we read through the four Gospels do we hear Jesus saying, "You hypocrites!" Exclamation point. You hypocrites! That's probably the main thing that keeps people out of a church today, is because they know hypocrites. Well, this is a good place to get over that and get through it. Will we ever be perfect on this side of eternity? Not a bit. Not a bit. But every day we can strive to be more like Jesus and less like the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees displayed an outward conformity to the law, but their hearts were full of unbelief and sinfulness. So, told you to be short. Here's my final thoughts. By warning the disciples against the hypocritical teaching, or yeast, we're figuring it out now, of the Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus sought to keep his followers from an influence that would undermine their faith and corrupt their walk with God. That's why he doesn't want us to be involved with false teaching. It'll lead to unbelief. It'll lead to our own corruption. Likewise, Believers today should heed the same warning from the Lord. We must guard against Pharisee-like teachers. We need to guard against the temptation to take pride in man-made teachings and traditions. Here's our lesson to take away for today. Maybe you've already got it, but I want to make sure. Just like a tiny amount of yeast can affect the entire batch of dough, even a tiny amount of Phariseeism, if that's even a word, can affect the entire church. And when I say the entire church, it's the Caddis Friends Church, or the Kennard Friends Church, or the Christian Church down the road, or the Church of Nazarene in Middletown, or the Church, capital C. A little bit of Phariseeism begins to grow and permeate and affect the whole body. That's why we need to be on the lookout. And that's why Jesus today is telling us, watch out, beware. Watch out, beware. Here's my last thought, and then I'll pray. Would you all agree that this Jesus, who's been teaching us all along, has taught us something even yet right now, would you agree this Jesus is a pretty amazing teacher? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Would you say he's the best thing since sliced bread? Maybe even before sliced bread. Let's pray. Well, dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we do care about our daily bread. We have to. We need to eat. But you know that we need much more than that. So our prayer now is to expose any Pharisee-like thinking that is selfish and self-seeking. Don't let any false teaching or any false teacher drive us away from you. Remind us that you provide what we need, and we'll thank you for that. But also remind us that sharing, giving of ourselves out of love for our neighbor, is also your desire for our life. We pray this in Jesus' name.